the Maryland News Network. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
Welcome into High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I am Glenn Clark, joined as always by CountySportsZone.com's Wick Eisenberg. Wick, I think everybody in town is still reeling from what was just an incredible basketball game on Monday night.
Yeah, big one, big one.
I know that there's other things happening throughout the state. Mm-hmm. I get it. A lot of big deals. But as far as local hoops goes, I don't know that there will be a bigger atmosphere
In the regular season, I was going to say.
Than what we saw at Mount St. Joe on Monday night.
Yeah, well, it's not often you get two McDonald's All-Americans going at each other. So it's pretty justified. But
I was trying to think of when that might have even been the last time there were two players. And I get it. Like, these guys have already played a couple of times.
Yeah, together, it's not the first time.
They're seniors, and we know they're McDonald's All-Americans. This might be just as far as two guys. The most decorated class.
I would think that maybe back in the Dunbar era would be the only time I would really think. But since then, I can't think of any other time where I think, yes, for sure, that duo was playing.
It's crazy.
In the area. But anyway, yeah, to the game, it was 78-71 in favor of Mount St. Joe over John Carroll. And one of those guys, Jalen Smith, who we talked about, we've even had him on this show.
Yeah, he had a pretty nice night.
Had a pretty decent night, I would say. 32 points, 23 rebounds. Also blocked 7 shots. And it's obviously a good sign for those of you who are Terps fans out there, because he's going to be playing for the University of Maryland next year, about as big a recruit as they've had in a while going there. But anyway, it wasn't just his show. It was 12 points from Tyree Myers. James Bishop and Kendall McMillan were also key for Mount St. Joe's in getting the win on senior night. Now, John Carroll was led by Emmanuel Quickley, who, as we said, he is the other McDonald's All-American that is in this equation, and he is heading to the University of Kentucky.
Yep.
He had 23 points. It was as you said, about as big an atmosphere as you're going to get for a regular season high school game.
The band over there. I mean, it was just a wild
scene. Senior night, too. Yeah, just a really wild scene. And, I mean, geez, I hope they get to play each other again later in the year.
No question. And I imagine they will. Yeah. I imagine this will not be the final time. But incredible, incredible night. All right, we got a lot doing this week's show.
It's not just going to be about
Mount St. Joe and John Carroll, but that was just obviously such a massive, massive game, particularly for the folks in the Baltimore area on Monday night. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we're going to chat about some things going on. We've got a new coach of the month that we'll be talking about. Also coming up later on in the show, we'll chat with a new football coach at Gilman, Nick Bach. That was a big story the last couple of weeks as the Greyhounds.
Calling in from Georgia. The first out-of-state guy that we've had on
Probably.
I would think so,
He'll take over next season, so looking forward to our first chat with Nick Bach. And then John Ferguson, who's the wrestling coach at Damascus. All they do is keep winning state titles.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good. 152 straight dual meet wins.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So we'll be doing all of that throughout the course of this week's program. Let's get back into some other things that happened from the course of this past week, Wick. It wasn't just Mount St. Joe and John Carroll. On the boys' side, there was a pretty big game in Harford County as well, and that was C. Milton Wright getting a nice win over Harford Tech.
Yeah, it was a close contest, but the difference in this matchup was Imran Hussein, who we had talked about last week. Hussein was key in their first victory. He scored 25 points in that one, came up a little short of that with just 24 points in this one, but still obviously a really good game as C. Milton Wright was able to beat Harford Tech 72-62. I think the key is whenever you're playing Harford Tech, you have to be able to handle their pressure, be able to handle their pace, and C. Milton Wright was able to compete with them on both ends of the floor, and that was the key to getting the season sweep. But like I said last week, I think these are going to be two teams that in the postseason are going to be making deep runs. So C. Milton Wright at the 3A, Harford Tech at the 2A. So for me, two really good teams going at it, and another big win for C. Milton Wright.
On the girls' side of things, this one did not end up being particularly close between Poolsville and Gaithersburg, as Poolsville got the big win.
Yeah, Poolsville won 62-38, and they were able to jump out to an early lead. It was 20-8 after the first quarter, and I think the key to this whole thing was just Gaithersburg didn't have an answer for Kellyanne Lee, 6-foot guard that they have at Poolsville, who finished with 29 points, almost scored as much as Gaithersburg did. But, you know, she's just not even the biggest girl on the team either. They have girls that are standing in at 6'2", 6'3". So she, and when I'm talking about Lee here, is just an absolute mismatch for some of Poolsville's opponents. And that was obviously made a play in this one. She finished with just 13 goals. She didn't attempt a single three-pointer. It was just all sort of banging inside and matching up against smaller opponents. Aaron Green finished with 10 points as well, and Madeline Thompson had 9 for Poolsville. And then Gaithersburg, they're still in search. We talked about it last week. They have a good record, but they're still in search of that marquee result. Their top player, Jordan Odom, led the way with 7 points, but the group in general just really struggled to get their shot off against Poolsville's height.
Well, Wick, we mentioned that Damascus was a big winner as far as wrestling is concerned,
yes.
But that wasn't the only title that was handed out this weekend at the state level as far as wrestling is concerned. Mm-hmm. Take us through everything that happened at the state dual meets and who the champions were.
Yeah, and I guess we'll start with 2A since Damascus we've already mentioned. They were able to get past Owings Mills 50-18, and then Glen Elg was able to beat North Carolina in the other semifinal 59-17, and then Damascus did what they always seem to do, which is just find a way to win. They won 49-16, and we'll talk about them a little bit later, but this is their sixth straight dual meet championship.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. The other levels?
The other levels. Starting at the 1A, Sparrows Point won the first semifinal against Lackey, 57-18. Then Southern Garrett beat Patterson Mill to make that the matchup in the final. And Southern Garrett came out on top, 47-30. It's Southern Garrett's second dual meet title. Their first came back in 2009. And for Dave Taylor, their longtime coach, you know this is something he's going to be talking about for a long time. So big result for Southern Garrett and fully deserved as well.
And then at the 2A level? Oh, we already mentioned 2A level. 2A, let's do the 3A level.
Jumping to the 3A, and this is a group we're going to be talking about a little bit later as well, but Huntingtown was able to beat Mount Hebron 46-18 to win in the finals. They were also able to top Tuscarora in a close one, 36-34. It should be noted, former or our most recent Impact Player of the Month, Andrew Chavarria, won his match there for Tuscarora, so that's got to be pretty cool. And then, but anyway, Huntingtown, they were able to get by Mount Hebron, and they've qualified to compete at North Point, you know, for the finals three times from 2014 to 2016, but they were never able to win it. A big result for the Hurricanes.
And then maybe lastly, a little bit of a surprise at the 4A level.
Yeah, this was wide open for me because, you know, Damascus had dominated the 3A, 4A level. They didn't expand to 4A, so Damascus jumps down to 2A. So now it's like this was really wide open about who could win 4A here. And Urbana was able to come out on top with a 41-27 defeat, victory over Churchill. Urbana in the first round was able to get by Old Mill pretty easily, 57-9, while Churchill in their semifinal topped Eleanor Roosevelt from Prince George's County, 54-29. But this is the second state title in the dual meets for Urbana. Their last came in 2012. You know, a great result for Frederick County, which is known for its wrestling. So Frederick was able to win a championship there. But for me, this is just a really cool event and one that I hope gets more and more publicity as it goes.
That's really cool. And then finally, I want to give a thought to Bocce and what happened in MoCo.
Yes.
Just real quickly, tell me about that event.
We were able to get a win for Whitman. They were able to top Wheaton 2-1. Whitman beats Wheaton. Say that fast.
Yeah, right.
2-1 to claim the championship, and it prevented a repeat title for Wheaton, who had won it the previous year. Whitman also topped Magruder in their first matchup. So this is just a really outstanding event. Like we talked about, this is for students who are, some of whom have special needs, things
like
that.
It's an allied sport.
Allied sport, yeah, but it's still very, very cool and just an awesome win, and congratulations to Whitman.
Very cool. All right, that's what's happened. Now we're going to talk about what's happening. We're going to move forward. Some great stories, including some cool family stories that we want to talk about. And there's a new coach of the month.
Yep.
We're going to tell you all about it in our next segment. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues right here on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you. All right, Wick, let's do some storytelling here.
Sure.
In segment number two. We got some guests coming up a little bit later on in the show, but in this segment, I want to talk about a couple of things that have popped up in recent weeks. And why don't we start with a new coach of the month.
Yes.
That we are going to honor.
New coach of the month is William Yao from Hammond Wrestling. And it's, you know, this is a guy, Hammond, that was able to really make a rebound this year, a program that had a sort of a golden era, which is funny because of the Golden Bears, but a golden era.
I see what you did there.
From 19, in sort of the 90s and the early 2000s, they were able to win 4 dual meet state championships. But they'd been a little bit in the wilderness since then. They hadn't really been able to make too much of an impact at the state level. But this sort sort of that changed this year. This year's team qualified for the fourth spot in the 2A South region, and they just lost out to Glen Elg 36-34, a really close match. And it should be noted, Glen Elg went on to make the finals for the 2A level. So clearly they went down swinging in a really good matchup. But Coach Al, this is his third year at Hammond as the head coach. And in the regular season, he led the team to a 30-4 dual meet record. They had two tournament wins. They also placed second, and they also placed third in another tournament. So, I mean, for me, this is a group that is only getting better, and he was actually nominated for the award by his assistant coach, William Smith, and who said about him, he's a tremendous technician and leader who has definitely earned this nomination. So Hammond, I think, and also looking ahead to this week, I think they're one of the teams that to watch at the Howard County tournament. So and then going forth into the state tournament. So for me, I think a really great honor, and he's somebody who really demands the best out of his wrestlers, and it's clearly working. And he's also a works in the special education department at Hammond as well. So just a great guy all around, and obviously very deserving, and congratulations to Coach Yao.
Congratulations, Coach Yao. That is great stuff. All right, now let's talk about some families.
Okay.
I think a lot of people maybe saw there was a really amazing accomplishment in girls basketball recently, and maybe don't know how cool the family story is that's behind this. But tell me about Mackenzie DeWeese, who became or made some history, and maybe we shouldn't be surprised by the history that she made.
No, I'm certainly not surprised. Starting with Mackenzie, she's a senior guard at Manchester Valley. And she recently scored her 2,000th career point, which she was able to do last Friday.
Remarkable.
Against North Hagerstown. Oh, yeah. She's only the ninth girl in the Baltimore area to do it, by the way. But she needed 26 points. She was able to score 30. She also had 12 rebounds and 10 steals in this game. I mean, Manchester Valley is a team that over the last few years has really established itself as a premier team in the Baltimore area and around the state. And she's been the centerpiece of it. She's been the Carroll County Player of the Year 4 years in a row. So freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And it's, she's not just a scorer as well. She's also a rebounder, 1,000 career rebounds. She's hit that mark. And she's also going back to her scoring, though, she has also eclipsed the Carroll County all-time scorer mark, which was held by Caitlin Bach back in 2010 from North Carroll. It was 1,782, so she's the first girl from Carroll County to hit the 2,000-point mark. And she signed to play for Quinnipiac, so she's going to be playing in college. Obviously, who wouldn't want, a 5'8" point guard who can steal, who can rebound, who can pass, but she averages 25.8 points, 10.7 rebounds, 8.2 steals, and 4.1 assists for the Mavericks. And I think a lot of people going into this year picked Manchester Valley to finish first in Carroll County. They are not going to be able to do that because Westminster's actually had an undefeated season. They've been fantastic this year. But I think also what's played into it is Manchester Valley fell off in the middle of the year when DeWeese was hurt. She missed four games with an ankle injury. So
that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. But as we had said before, it's not entirely shocking that it's coming from the DeWeese family.
Well, why do you say that, Wick?
Her mother, Heather, who is the head coach at Manchester Valley.
Oh.
Also seems that I think that helps as well, having mom as coach, I'm sure. Was a two-time All-State selection for basketball in West Virginia at Fairmont Senior High School.
Well, how about that?
And she also...
Well, how many points did she score?
She at one point, she scored... she was able to lead West Virginia in points scored per game, 36.5 points per game. But then she also went on to play Mount St. Mary's as well, and she scored more than 1,000 points.
So she's a scorer, too.
So she's a scorer, too, and she's in the school's Athletic Hall of Fame in 2014. I mean, the Weeses are really good around the
Rim, right?
Around
the seriously, rim, aren't they? No doubt.
But yeah, this is just something that it jumped out to me. It's a cool honor. I've actually been interviewing Heather DeWeese is a former coach of the month. We talked about that earlier. She won it, I believe it was 2 years ago. I met her daughter then. It was just such a cool dynamic. I think about as good a mother daughter or parent child coach, coach player combo that I have seen. They seem to do a really good job with it.
It's cool.
And they're both obviously tremendous. Talented, and if you were to talk to Mackenzie DeWeese, I'm sure she would say, hey, it means a lot to do this, but I really want a state title. And so that's, I know, what Manchester Valley is aiming for. They're playing some of their best basketball right now. She's back and fully healthy, and that's great news for the Mavericks. But congratulations to the DeWeese family on hitting all these hitting the 2,000 career point mark, and we're expecting a lot more from Mackenzie as she moves forward.
All right, and then one other really cool family story that we wanted to get into, Wick, in this segment is, I like this. I like doing these family stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about the wrestling Gilligan brothers of Huntington.
Yeah, at Huntington, I mean, Kevin Gilligan at Huntington, God, tongue-tied.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Yeah, had to, Kevin Gilligan, he's the longtime coach there. He had to step away from the program this year, the longtime coach, for an undisclosed health reason. And anybody who knows anything about Huntington wrestling is that he is Huntington wrestling. When he went there, there wasn't much of a program going on, and he has really turned it around and turned them into state contenders. As I mentioned before, from 2014 to 2016, the Hurricanes were semifinalists in the state dual tournament. They were unable to reach the final, and then last year, actually, they got upset in the regional final, so they missed it last year. But just a tremendously talented program, and a lot of it's happened under Kevin. Unfortunately, he had a sort of an undisclosed health reason, so they're not really making public what happened to him, but he wasn't able to coach this year. So who stepped in to help coach the team this year? Steve Gilligan.
Oh, look at that.
His brother, who has been an assistant with the program for quite some time, and he stepped into the head coach job this year, and the team did great. They finished the season 33-2, and as we mentioned, they were able to top Mount Hebron 46-18 to win the state title. But one thing that helped them, that the players, that the wrestlers, and all the coaches, anyone with that program will say really helped them this year, they had a good luck charm, a bobblehead of Kevin Gilligan that the seniors for Huntington last year made for him. They had it sat on the bench throughout the season, pointed towards the wrestling mat all year, just to make sure, you know, you remember you're wrestling for Coach Kevin.
Cool.
And that he's, you know, don't forget what he was able to teach you. Don't forget his guidance. And even though he's not here, he's still with us. And the thing is, you know, they relied on this bobblehead, and they sort of viewed it as, I guess, I don't know, good luck charm. They didn't need the bobblehead on Saturday because they had the real thing there. Kevin Gilligan was able to come out and make the matches at North Point this year and was able to watch
awesome.
From the stands.
Awesome.
Which is cool. Now, he apparently had made one or two matches throughout the year, but, you know, his health, he's not able to get there all the time. He was able to come out, make it for that event. And what's really cool is, you know, Huntington wins. It's super emotional. They've been there so many times, and coaches standing up there in the stands applauding them. They go, they receive their champions medals, and then the second they get the medals, the entire team bolts up the stands, bolts up into the crowd to go celebrate with Kevin Gilligan.
That's great.
To make sure that
that's
he feels
great.
That he's a part of it. And for me, that's just, what more could you want, I guess, from your players in that moment? If you're a coach,
are you trying to make me cry?
Yeah, I'm not trying to make you cry, but it looks like it might be working. But anyway, yeah, just a fantastic story. One that you know, just for me, it's really what high school athletics is all about.
That's
when a coach
cool.
has really been there for its players, and then his players can return the favor.
That's a neat story. That's a neat story. All right, very good stuff. When we come back in, there's a new head football coach at the Gilman School, and we're going to get our first opportunity to chat with him and about what's ahead for the Greyhounds. That's next. I'm Glenn Heeswick. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T Prepaid is a great prepaid choice, according to Julius and Deb.
When you switch to AT&T Prepaid,
you get two ZTE Maven 3 smartphones for free
and two lines for $75 a month.
Hey, I was going to say that.
Beat you to it.
AT&T Prepaid has no annual contract.
No activation fee.
And AT&T's reliable network.
No hidden fees.
No credit check.
No compromises.
AT&T Prepaid has plans for people who like great prices.
Plans for people who like great deals.
Flexibility.
Reliability.
Customers named Deb.
Customers named Julius.
Customers in Springfield.
Customers not in Springfield.
The list is long.
Really long.
Thanks, Julius. Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome, announcer guy.
Hey, I was saying that.
No matter your reason, switch to AT&T Prepaid and get two free ZTE Maven 3 smartphones and two lines on AT&T's reliable network.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Two for $75 per month requires two new lines of service on the $45 monthly plan each under a multi-line account. Account owner on auto pay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources, fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.
The people have spoken.
Okay, about what?
Macy's President's Day sale. The nation wants savings and Macy's delivers.
Oh, I get it. Like an extra 10 to 20% off with our Macy's Carter Savings Pass?
Exactly. Putting the people first with big savings on men's and women's coats.
And Macy's big furniture and mattress sale.
Yes. I'm glad we agree on this.
I like this patriotic side of you.
You know, I think I'll start calling you my first lady.
Please don't do that.
Okay. Macy's President's Day sale. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply.
To battle is to fight. To struggle. To overcome. And ultimately for the Marine Corps, it means to win. There is no alternative. It's not just a statement of intent. It's a promise to our nation. A promise kept for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Live, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here in High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. Wick, we talked about it last week. There is a new football coach at the Gilman School in Baltimore, and it's someone who's making quite the journey to come join us here in the Baltimore area, as Nick Bach now joins us here on High School Sports Line to talk about becoming the new football coach at Gilman. Coach, it's Glenn and Wick. It's so good to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time, and congratulations on becoming the new head football coach at the Gilman School.
Wow. Thank you very much. Very excited and looking forward to the challenge and the journey ahead.
Well, Coach, look, the Gilman School obviously is a place where there is plenty of football heritage and there has been great accomplishment. Can you take me through how this happened, how you ended up becoming the man who would become the sort of long-term answer as they look for the man to lead Gilman for the next few years?
Sure. Yeah, it was an interesting process. To be totally honest with you, I've had some just a few connections in the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area through my college coaching years that I've maintained, and some of them are very, very close to Gilman from my time coaching at Johns Hopkins University. So I've always kind of had my eye on the Gilman job, to be honest with you. I remember it from, 15 years ago being in that neighborhood, and I thought, wow, what a great place and just what a fantastic, opportunity that would be. So when I heard it was opening up, I quickly applied to it. I was excited to hear back. And, there was several rounds of interviews and things went well, and they offered me the job recently, and I was quick to accept, and I really couldn't be more excited.
Mm-hmm. And, Coach, this is Wick here. I mean, tell us a little bit about the program that you're leaving here in Georgia, Mountain View. We're Baltimore guys. We're Maryland guys, so our apologies. We don't know too much about it. But from what I've been able to find and see, it looks like it's been a really successful spell there for you.
Yeah, Mountain View High School is a 7A level football program, which is the highest level in the state of Georgia for public schools. Public and private really all play together here down in Georgia,
okay.
So that's a little different. So it's in the highest classification. We're in one of the hotbed communities for athletes here in Gwinnett County. It's kind of nationally known for putting out a lot of Division I players. And the region we play in is probably one of the most difficult, challenging regions in the state. And when I took over the program, it was still relatively young, maybe 7 or 8 years old. The school is only was recently built and had not had a whole lot of success on the football field. And, through some really hard work by, a lot of really great assistant coaches that I was able to hire and a lot of community support and just kind of grabbing all the momentum we could grab and just getting after it. We had some success the last couple of years, made the playoffs for the first time ever, won a playoff game for the first time ever. There's a lot of firsts over the last couple of years, and it was exciting. But like I said, as a football coach, you kind of keep your eye on those exceptional opportunities that are out there. And, when Gilman opened up, I just couldn't resist to send my information and hope for the best. And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. And it's just such a cool story, a cool journey that got you here, but you're taking over for a guy in Tim Holley. He is Gilman Athletics. He's been there forever. He was the athletic director forever. And, the coach you're taking over for, have you spoken at all with Tim? I'm assuming he was involved in the application process, but since getting the job, has he given you any advice, or have you been able to speak with him or anyone really associated with Gilman who's given you advice about coaching at Gilman?
I've spoken with Coach Holley almost every day, and we have a fantastic relationship, which is really, really helping me along in the process. From the first time I spoke with him on the interview, I kind of walked away saying, wow, I really like that guy.
Yeah, very nice guy.
He is a really, really nice guy. He's the epitome of what Gilman produces over there. And I hope that I can, live up to the expectations of the Gilman program and do right by, him and all the other previous people that have worked there, because they've set the standard so high. You know, I definitely want to give my best effort to make everybody proud and do a great job representing Gilman with, you know, class and distinction and everything else that they've been known for throughout the years.
Coach Nick Bach is the new coach at Gilman, and he joins us here on High School Sports Line on the Maryland News Network. Coach, one of the things that we've discussed is that a few years back when Coach Poggi left Gilman, there was talk about Gilman maybe de-emphasizing football a little bit. And I'm not sure how familiar we are with that, and some of that is probably political and doesn't really impact you much. But do you get a sense for the emphasis that Gilman has on football and for how committed they are as a program to you and to how difficult it's going to be to go up against the likes of St. Francis, which has really become a national powerhouse in recent years in the MIAA moving forward?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I have a pretty decent sense of how things are there. First and foremost, you know, when you say Gilman, immediately you think of the highest academic institution in the state. In my mind, that's the reputation. So academics at Gilman are first and foremost, and that's what their reputation is built on. So I think that's really where we hang our hat as far as the Gilman School. We're known as a super high academic institution with connections all over the country. I don't think that's anything to worry about, really. That, to me, that's a bonus. That's a big, big, big plus, and something that we relish at the Gilman School. As far as, you know, football situation and, you know, moving forward and what the emphasis is, I get the feeling that everybody at Gilman wants to have a really, really great football program. If you go through the years and the history and tradition there, I think it's something that they want to happen very, very badly. So through my talks with everybody there, I think there's going to be a big push to make this program a source of pride for all the alumni and something that everybody can point at and say, you know, Gilman football is powerful and it represents the school very, very well, even though it is one of the greatest academic institutions out there. So, you know, if you wanted to compare it to college football programs, you know, you could look at places like Notre Dame, Stanford, mm-hmm. Duke, Vanderbilt. That's kind of our model. And then that would be appropriate. And, you know, certainly St. Francis, from what I'm learning about them, they're a super powerful football program and going to be a great challenge. You know, fortunately for me, my last couple of years, I've run across a few of those kinds of programs here at Mountain View. So I kind of know what it looks like and to do my best to try to challenge those guys. But I know they're doing a fantastic job over there as far as their football program. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to give them a great game and try to win the championship every single year.
Mm-hmm. And coach, I mean, looking at yourself, I mean, what is Gilman getting here? What are you going to be bringing to the program? I mean, in terms of it's like you said, it's a program in a school with so much tradition and history. What are your goals in terms of, or how are you going to try to approach furthering that tradition? What are you going to try to bring to this program?
Yeah, I really think, you know, Gilman has its own tradition and alumni base and resources, and that's something we really have to tap into there. I think, you know, some other programs, maybe as a new head coach, you might want to go in there and kind of re-image the place or revamp things. I really don't feel the need to do that at a place like Gilman. There's so much good stuff going on there already that I think maybe just some tweaking, refining, and, you know, try to improve a couple of areas will be my goal. And I think we'll be right there where we used to be. I don't think it's an overhaul situation where, you know, there's going to be all kinds of new, brand new things going on. I think we need to tap into what's been done there because they have had so much success and just kind of enhance a few of those kind of things and go from there. I think we'll be there pretty quick.
Yeah, as you mentioned that, the history, Coach, there's a number of notable Gilman alumni, both football and otherwise, obviously. There's a lot of incredible people that have come from Gilman, but yeah, many of them are football players. And you think about guys that are either in the NFL right now, like Cyrus Jones and Brandon Copeland, guys that have played in the NFL. When do you start reaching out to those guys and trying to involve them? Obviously, you know, those are guys that didn't play for you, and so they don't know you, and you're coming in from a different place. When do you start reaching out to them and trying to include them in this process of building what you're going to build at the Gilman School?
I think that needs to happen really as soon as possible. Right now, I'm just trying to kind of get my bearings on the whole transition and moving my family up to Maryland. But I could see, you know, that happening very, very in the very near future. Really, at this moment, I'm just trying to get set up with the current team that we have, figure out, you know, spring and summer schedules, and all that kind of stuff. Just logistically get my foot in the door as far as how we're going to operate, meeting with, you know, assistant coaches and things like that. But as soon as we get a little bit of time here and that stuff gets figured out this spring and this summer, I will do my best to contact everybody that's has any kind of interest in our program. And we're going to welcome all that interest and try to, you know, grow that base and get everybody excited about what we're going to do in the next couple of years.
And looking at your current crop of guys that you have, I mean, how has it been so far meeting with these guys? I'm assuming you have at this point, at least met with a few of them, talked to them a little bit about your vision. How have you found talking to your new players and how have those interactions been so far?
Oh, it's been fantastic. We had a team meeting last Friday. I was up there for the weekend, and I got a chance to kind of speak to the whole team. It was very brief. I only had a short window of time in between their classes, so we kept it really informal. I just kind of introduced myself and got to shake all their hands and kind of put some names to the faces. But that's a really good-looking group of football players right now, so I'm very excited. Just, you know, as us coaches say, they look really good off the cuff. So just putting eyeballs on them looks fantastic. We're going to have to do some serious evaluations in the spring and the summer to make sure they're all in the right places as far as the football team, you know, positionally. But, you know, getting to meet those guys was really good for just introduction purposes. And I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a great group of guys.
He is Coach Nick Bach, the new head football coach at the Gilman School. Coach, really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. Looking forward to having you up here and looking forward to doing this again. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, absolutely. I'm real excited, and I'd be happy to talk to you guys anytime you want.
Well, we'll make sure we do that. When we come back in, we're going to talk some wrestling next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
I'm Jill Powell. Each day, I'll bring you the latest from the floor of the Maryland General Assembly. I'll speak with the newsmakers and feature the sound that is shaping the future of Maryland. Be sure to catch the Maryland Capitol Report anytime at MarylandNewsNetwork.net.
To battle is to fight, to struggle, to overcome. And ultimately, for the Marine Corps, it means to win. There is no alternative. It's not just a statement of intent. It's a promise to our nation. A promise kept for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
Calling Hawk alumni! The University of Maryland Eastern Shore's homecoming is this month. February the 23rd, the Hall of Fame Gala and Concert kick off at 6 p.m. with a reception, followed by dinner. The induction ceremony will be hosted by NFL Hall of Famer Art Shell. The celebration continues with a Hall of Fame concert featuring local favorite On the Edge. Get your tickets now at umestickets.com. UMES Homecoming and Hall of Fame Gala February 23rd. Tickets on sale at umestickets.com.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you. All right, Wick Eisenberg, we talked all about this back in the first segment. All they do at Damascus is win championships in wrestling. Jeez. It's just all they ever do. This is probably going to be the easiest interview we've ever done, because all we got to do to say to this guy is, how do you keep winning all the time? How do you just keep winning? Joining us now is the wrestling coach at Damascus. He is Coach John Ferguson. Coach, it's Glenn and Wick. It's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time for us.
Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
All right, so we'll get to the dumb question. How do you guys just keep winning all the time?
Well, I think a lot of it is the kids are willing to put themselves on the line at practice every day and at the matches. They do a good job answering the bell, especially in the tough matches, which has been really cool to watch. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest reasons is the feeder program that starts at a young age, and they keep coming right up to the high school, which is a pretty cool thing.
Hey, Coach, it's Wick here, and I know you mentioned that. I know that you've had some wrestlers that have come through. I read a cool story where, you know, a couple of them were dying their hair blonde. I know that's something Damascus always does around this time, but they were doing it as middle school students and going to watch you guys, and now they're on the team. How cool is it to get to see these kids sort of go from such a young age to the, you know, sort of the pinnacle of high school wrestling in Maryland?
It is really a great experience, especially to watch them perform. I have kids in the youth program, and so I get to know them at a young age, know them and their families. It was really cool to watch them get grow to the sport. But I read the article as well, and it was cool to hear him say that, even though he's going to express that into the to us or anything like that. But, you know, I think one of the big things, like on senior night, our one or six pounder lost a tough match, and he said that he'll remember that forever. That all this, every senior that came to him said, "We got your back." So they went out there and they battled for him. You know, he lost a tough match, and he will remember that. And that's the kind of thing that builds our program. You know, the kids love it and respect it and do whatever they can for the program.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe I've got this right, that the dual meet, you know, your dual meet record is now at 152 straight wins in a row, is what I have it as. And I know there's six dual meet titles in there as well in the process, but it's such a long streak at this point. Is it something, I feel like it could be a distraction if it's not handled properly. Is it something, how do you approach it? Is it something that you guys discuss regularly, or is it something that is never discussed? You have one big conversation about it at one point. How do you guys approach this streak that you guys are on currently?
It's an old cliche, but we usually just take it one match at a time. Mm-hmm. Some matches are a lot bigger than others, of course, but we just try to get our kids ready to go. We don't really talk about it. The only thing that has come close to that was we asked the senior captains and the senior leaders, what is it going to be like on your watch? What are you going to do on your watch? Are you going to let it slip? Are you going to, you know, lead these guys to a victory? Are you going to lead by example? What are you going to do? How's it going to go? And we've been very fortunate to have great leadership. And so those guys have been in the program for a while. They know what they have to do, and they expect to win.
And they do it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all they ever do is they win. And it's winning at a very high level. He's Coach Sean Ferguson from Damascus. He's with us here on High School Sports Line. Coach, this, you know, one of the cool things, you get to win with your sons. Tell me what that experience has been like, you know, having your boys on the team, and, you know, what's the relationship like between being dad and being coach?
It's been pretty cool because I've coached them for ever since they were younger, mostly in football, and Coach Obendorfer has been with them mostly. Him and Coach Troy Lawrence have been with them since youth league and wrestling, and they have progressed and moved on to where we are right now. And I tell you, the other night was just really special to watch them go out there and win some huge matches for us at the state, in the state championship. And I actually usually come in the house and I just say, "Hey, I thought you guys did well, and, you know, some things we need to work on, that kind of stuff." But the other night, I came home and said, "Unbelievable."
That's cool. Yeah.
I don't really get to say that very much to them because there is that fine line between a coach and a dad, and just try to keep them humble, make sure they're focused and hungry. But they really impressed me the other day, so it was really cool.
And I'm curious. I've talked with a lot of wrestling coaches. I've been in, you know, around high school sports for about 3 or 4 years now. I've met a ton of wrestling coaches. I feel like there's two different approaches when you're coaching a team. You either sort of say you're going to wrestle my way, you're going to do it this style, or you can sort of adjust and sort of play to your wrestler's strengths. There's merits to both of those approaches, but how do you try to approach it? Do you try to train every Damascus wrestler to sort of have the same skill set, have the same moves, or do you try to adjust to, you know, what they are already bringing to the table when you get them?
We definitely do what they bring to the table when we get them. They, you know, we try to show them a lot of, we've been in, really close with Penn State the last couple of years, one of their camps, and we have a wrestler that goes there right now. We try to bring back what they do. But it really comes down to what kind of wrestler they want to become. I feel like for me, it'd be boring to watch the same cookie cutter wrestler, but you know, they're all prepared the same way in different situations. For example, we were getting ready to face a guy who does a Higgins roll, which is where they grab the elbows from neutral position and sit out.
Well, we taught them how to do it and then how to get out of it. And one kid picked it up and used it in the match against Urbana. And mm-hmm. the other day we had a guy we were getting ready to face that likes to do a reverse cradle. And we showed them how to do it and how to get out of it. And another kid decided to use the reverse cradle and it worked. So it's really what they want to do and how they want to perfect it. As long as they work hard on it and keep perfecting it, I don't care how they get the points, just get it done. So we're really excited about that. And the kids are like, some kids are sponges, some take a little bit more, need a lot more reps to get it down. But individuality is really makes the sport fun to watch kids do what they want to do and cool moves and stuff like that. Get everybody hyped up and excited.
Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, like we said, you guys were able to come away with the win on this past Saturday. It was pretty dominant from what I've read. You won 10 of your first 11 matches, 5 were via fall. For you, what were some key matches in there that helped Damascus jump out to that early lead? Because, I mean, take nothing away from Glen Elg. They're a very talented team. What was key to you guys being able to just sort of jump on them early and keep them down?
Well, I think one was the where we started in the coin flip. Mm-hmm. We got a coin flip, and our guy, John Jared Thomas, are really good wrestlers. Jared got him at the Damascus tournament, and it was a really awesome match to watch. And we were prepared for that, but we won the coin flip, so they had to throw out whoever they threw out first. And it wasn't Jared Thomas, so we put out Johnny McLaughlin, and that got us rolling with a pin. And then Dylan came away with a major decision, so we were up 10-0 at that time. And then they dropped their 145-pounder Drew Saka down to 152-pounder down to 155, and he inked out a minor decision. So that was a great call for them, great part of their strategy for the lineup. And then they forfeited to Ryan, which gave them kept a little momentum away from us. And then they did a surprise where they dropped their 170-pounder, number one in the state at 1AQA, and they dropped it down to 160 to wrestle John Allen, and it was awesome to watch him come away with a victory. And that was a big crucial match. And then they their 160-pounder is also number one at 1AQA at 160, and Timmy was very fortunate enough to pull out a victory at that. Two minor decisions in those things went our way instead of their way, which they were hoping to get. So that was a big part. And then finally, I think our 182 Ben Loco won in overtime against Sam Alkheimer, who was the number one ranked guy at 182. So as soon as that happened, we kind of looked at each other. We were like, oh, man, we are in the driver's seat right
now. There you go.
Yeah, we got the matchups the rest of the way that we wanted, and the boys pretty much handled the way we expect them to do from there on out.
Well, there you go, another title. That's the way it is. Hey, Coach Ferguson, we really appreciate you taking the time for us this week on High School Sports Line. Congratulations on another championship. Best of luck moving forward, all right?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
He's Coach John Ferguson from Damascus. We'll come back in preview the week ahead. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
It either is or it isn't. When it comes down to it, that's all that really matters when choosing a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. It's either certified by Mercedes-Benz factory-trained technicians, or it isn't. It's either backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, or it isn't. It's absolute confidence in 30,000 precision parts, or it isn't. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event now through February 28th, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Come in today and take advantage of 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing offers available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. There are those who settle for nothing less. For them, the choice is simple. It's either up to Mercedes-Benz standards, or it isn't. It's flawlessly maintained, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, Esther, Liberty Mutual just saved me $782 on insurance.
Liberty did what?
I know. It's a lot of money, right?
What'd you say?
Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Visit us online to get a quote.
What?
I said, visit us online to get a quote, and you can save $782.
Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Are you still talking?
Clog pores, we need to talk. I'm tired of all your baggage. Deep down dirt, oil, and yeah, even stubborn blackheads. We are so over, and breaking up has never been easier. Meet my Biore Deep Cleansing Charcoal Pore Strip. This strip with natural charcoal will instantly pluck out a week's worth of gunk in just 10 minutes. Sorry, clogged pores. It's not me. It's you. And now I'm stripping with Biore. Biore. Free your pores.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
All right, Wick, final segment means the chance for us to look ahead to what's coming up this week when it comes to high school sports across the state of Maryland. And it's a particularly big week in the pool.
It is a huge week in the pool.
Tell me about what's going on when it comes to swimming and diving.
Well, there are 8 regionals going on this week for the swimming and diving. So people are going to be looking to qualify for the following week's state finals at College Park. And I can run through real quick when they are happening.
Yeah,
obviously,
sure.
There's 2 different brackets when it comes to swimming. There's the 4A, 3A, which is the bigger schools, and then 3A, 2A, 1A, which is the smaller schools. But at the 4A, 3A level, the West is going to be competing at the MLK Swim Center in Montgomery County at 8 a.m.
And this is on Saturday?
This is all on Saturday. Yeah. All on Saturday. North is competing at Prince George's County, the Sports and Learning Complex at 9 a.m. And the South region is going to be at Fairland Aquatic Center, also in Prince George's County at 9 a.m. And then and the East is going to be at the Arundel Swim Center in, you guessed it, Anne Arundel County at 9 a.m. And then at the smaller competition is going to be the West is going to be at Fairland at 3 p.m. The North is at Magnolia Middle School in Harford County at 10 a.m. The South is going to be at the Prince George's Sports and Learning Complex at 3. And then the East is going to be at the Arundel Swim Center at 3 as well. And like I said, these are regionals. Whoever, you know, performs well, you have an opportunity to compete at the state championships the following week, which we'll talk a little bit more about, I'm assuming, next week. But this is a very, very cool event. And good luck to all the swimmers and divers out there.
All right. Very cool. Now let's move to wrestling. A lot of important stuff happening this weekend on the mat as well.
Yeah, it's the lot of county and league championships all over the place right now as regionals for individual state tournament. They begin next week, so this is kind of a 1 week in between the duels as well as the state tournament for individuals. So a lot of counties are doing their county tournament right now, and a lot of leagues are well. The Bayside is going to be competing at Cambridge South Dorchester. The Smack is going to be at Huntingtown. The Uckback is going to be at Edgewood. So those are 3 different leagues that are going to be competing. And once again, these are Friday, Saturday tournament, so Friday in the afternoon and then all day on Saturday. And then for the county tournaments, Anne Arundel is going to be hosting it at Arundel High School. Howard is going to be out Mount Hebron. Frederick is going to be at Urbana. And then Washington is going to be hosting it at Boonesboro. So it's a great opportunity to compete right prior to the state tournaments getting underway. Championship wrestling season, and for me, is about as tough as it gets as a competition at the high school level. Duels aren't, you know, the dual championships aren't quite as big because not everybody can qualify for it. It's a little bit trickier. It's a smaller tournament.
Yeah.
This is really, for me, the start of 3 straight weeks of just brutally difficult competition for the most elite wrestlers in the state. It should be fantastic to watch.
All right. Big week ahead. It's not necessarily this weekend, but
Well,
it's technically a holiday weekend, so I guess you call it that. But indoor track, big stuff coming up in the next 7 days when it comes to indoor track.
Yeah, as you said, there's nothing going on this weekend, but the finals are going to be starting on Monday on President's Day. The 2A and the 1A will compete at 11 a.m. And then on Tuesday, the 3A and 4A go at it with a 4 p.m. start time. Now, those are going to be happening at the Prince George's Sports and Learning Complex right down there by where the Redskins play, by the way. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. You're right. They use the same parking lot and everything. But these are some of the best pure athletes in the state that are going to be competing here. It should be a sensational few days. In case you haven't been to a high school track meet, I highly suggest doing it at some point. There's always something to watch. It's pretty much nonstop action from the first race on. There's multiple events going on at once, and what's cool is you have athletes going back and forth doing a lot of different things, which is a lot of focus, a lot of dedication, and it's just high school athletics at its finest for me. I can't wait to see these results come in. It's always a really cool day when it happens, and there's just so many
many different championships that can be won. I love it because you have so many different athletes who can make their mark and win a state championship here. And so, and then also there's the highly competitive team element to it as well. And I'm very curious to see at the 4A level if anyone's going to be able to dethrone Northwest. They've been sort of the premier power out of Montgomery County. They've been one of the top teams to beat. They have a great coach in Robert Youngblood. So for me, I'm very curious to see if anybody's going to be able to top them this year.
All right, it's Monday and Tuesday for indoor track. Mm-hmm. And then finally, normally we're previewing basketball games, but that's just a smattering of basketball.
It's a little less this week. Less.
And that's because we're gearing up for a big week next week.
Yes. So this is, like I said, a lot less games than usual because a lot of the teams are sort of resting up for the playoffs. There's still stuff happening. There's still some games, which is not quite as much. It's not a basketball weekend for me. It's a a weekend for swimming, diving, for track and everything, and wrestling. So basketball sort of takes a backseat this weekend. However, it jumps right back into the forefront next Tuesday, the February 20th. It's the equivalent of, I guess, the selection Sunday, although I guess there's no selection because everybody makes it, but sort of the brackets coming out. The March Madness begins for Maryland High School basketball that day with the brackets coming out. There's eight total brackets, four on the boys' side, four on the girls' side, and it's just, it's a huge day, and I'll be honest, it's big for County Sports Zone, if I'm going to put a little plug in here, because the official brackets get posted at countysportszone.com. That's where you can go to see them. And so obviously, I mean, go to the homepage, you click the playoffs link, and just on next Tuesday and sometime in the afternoon, the brackets will be up there. It's really cool. It's a great moment, and I always love seeing, weirdly on social media what it's like afterwards. I like sitting there and seeing on Twitter, everybody's talking about, oh, this is what we have to do to go there.
Right.
This is what we're going to have to do. This is who we're going to have to play. And it's just, it's a great day. You get to check out the path your team will have to take if they're going to reach either the Xfinity Center in case you're a fan of a boys basketball team, or the CQ Arena in Towson if you're a girls basketball fan. But for me, it's just a really, really exciting day, and it's a big one, like I said, for County Sports Zone. If you're looking for the brackets, if you want to see when everybody's going to be playing, go to our website, countysportszone.com. You hit the playoff section, and then you'll have a little tab there, and you can pick which bracket you want to see. But that'll be a huge day, and it's always one of my favorite days of the year. I think it's going to be really good this year, and hopefully there's going to be a good draw.
That's coming up on Tuesday again, countysportszone.com. You want to make sure that you're glued there for the unveiling of the brackets for the high school basketball tournaments in Maryland. Great stuff, Wick. Appreciate it as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks to Steve Clendenin, our executive producer, for making everything happen for those guys. I'm Glenn Clark. You can listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcast. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio On Demand. This has been High School Sportsline, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network.